And yes, he is good all the time. And I'm going to finish up what I started this morning in ministering about faith. How many of you got something out of that this morning? Amen. Well, we're going to finish that up. And so turn with me now to Mark chapter 9. We're going to begin to look at verses 14 through 29. And it says here, when they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them, and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. And a man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of his speech. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." Verse 19, "O unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him, and when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion, and he fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him, but if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." And you know, many times when we get to the end of our ropes, per se, or when we get weary, when we get stressed, when we get tired, there are times where we have conversations with God and even ourselves and even others where we say, "Well, you know, if God can do this," or "God, can you do it?" You know what? God can do anything that you believe him for and anything that lines up with the word of God. And so this man, he was begging for his son's healing, and he said, "If you can do anything, God, if you can do anything, Jesus, if you can do anything." And you know, we still serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he is able. And not only is God able, but he's well able. He is well able to do exceedingly, abundantly, and above all that we could ever, ever ask him for or even imagine. But many times, the issue lies within our own selves. Many times the issues of what's holding up the blessing, what's holding up the solution is us. And it's many, many times a lack of faith. A lack of faith. And I told y'all this morning I was having a conversation with God about my house. And one of the things that God kind of enlightened to me, and I'm going to work on it this week. You know, God can tell you everything that you need to know. But if you refuse to work on it, you're going to be at a standstill. And I've been talking to God a lot lately about my house that's for sale. It's a beautiful home. And that home is going to be a blessing to somebody. And I was having this conversation. I was kind of in a pity party moment talking to God about it. And he said, "Well, Kelly, you haven't even cleaned out any of your junk drawers in the house." Like, you know what them junk drawers look like, and you're crying to me about why hasn't your house sold. You haven't even cleaned out the junk drawers. You're not even acting like it's so. And so many, many times we are our own hold up by just the things that we do or by the things that we don't do. And if you're believing God for something, you need to act like that something is already here. You need to act like that thing is so. And that is what I am learning with God, is that, you know, if you really want to meet God right where he's at, you act like what he said, he is well able to do it. And then you act according. You know, what are you believing God for? Well, you need to conduct yourself like that thing is here and happening. You need to prepare for it. If you're believing God for a house, a spouse, a new job, a this or a that, then you need to conduct yourself like that's what you're expecting from God and that thing is coming about. And so God put that in my spirit. He said, you know, you haven't even cleaned out the junk drawers. And boy, how many of y'all got a junk drawer in your house? Can you imagine having to clean them things out? I think I have more junk than most people. And so, you know, we have to grow our faith and we have to act in faith. Our actions have to say, you know what, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. Many times when I'm driving by my house, I'll put my hand out the window and I say, in Jesus' name, I call you sold. In Jesus' name. And so it says here, if you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for him who believes. And immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. And unbelief, if you really want to get that faith where it needs to be to receive your miracle, to receive your breakthrough, to receive the thing that God has for you, you have to get the unbelief part of you worked out to where there's not a shadow of a doubt in your mind that God is going to do exactly what he said that he's going to do. And the way that we do that is we renew our mind. We get in the word. We begin to speak. Many, many times the things that we speak don't line up with what we're asking God for. Many, many times. I've been in mid-prayer praying for something. God, can you please help me with this, Lord? And in my mind, Brother Paul, I'm saying, well, that ain't going to happen. I've done that before and God's just stopped me right there. Well, just stop praying. Just stop praying if you're having that thought because it's not going to get you anywhere. So we have to get our thinking aligned with the word. And we have to say, you know what, God, I believe. Help me work out this unbelief. God, get this unbelief out of me. Now let's go to Mark chapter 11. And we're going to look at verses 20 through 25. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. And Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered. And in verse 22, have faith in God, Jesus answered. And I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Many times people do not believe what they say out of their mouth. People are good about standing up in church and saying, I'm believing God for this, but they really don't. They really don't believe, and it never happens. It never happens for them. And it says, therefore, I tell you that whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it. Not believe that you will receive it. Believe that you have received it. And there's a difference there. When you're asking God for something, you've got to believe that what you've asked him for, you've already received it. One of the things that will help you to grow your faith is when you have that thing that you've told God and that you've asked God for and he's told you he's going to do it for you. Really what's left, because the word is true. If you've asked him for it and you believe that you've received it, he's going to do that. What's left? Thanking him for it. Thank him for it. On the days when you're weary and you're saying, God, is that going to happen? We need to stop saying stuff like that and start saying, Lord God, I thank you that this is on the way. God, it's already done. Lord, and you begin to plan what you're going to do when that thing comes about. You know, if you've ever prayed for a home, well, begin to tell God what you're going to do with that home that he's going to give you. If you've prayed for a car, if you've prayed for a healing, What do you intend to do with the thing that God's asked you, the thing that you've asked God for? What are you going to do with it? These are all things that we need to think about. And it says, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. It's hard to be a person of great faith if you're a person also of great grudges. Those two just really can't exist, because you're going to have a hold up because you can't get an answer to your prayer. If you stand praying and you haven't forgiven, you need to forgive. You can't be a person of great faith and a person of great grudges all in the same person. Just doesn't work like that. Doesn't work. Go with me now to John chapter 14. We're going to look at verses 5 through 14. And here's Thomas. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So many people are believing God for their family. Anybody got any family that you're believing God for? How many of you ever tried to give that person the silent treatment just to really show them that they're screwing up? I have it. It's really been very ineffective. Very ineffective way to deal with people. Every once in a while, I still want to deal with them that way, and it's not right. And I'm going to read that to you again, because there's a nugget in here. No one comes to the Father except through me. Nobody. We didn't, and your family won't. So many people lose faith in God and lose their faith in general because of what their family is doing or not doing. So many people, well, God, if you can just save my family, you know what? Pray. Say, Lord God, in Jesus' name, I speak out by faith right now. God, put the right people in my family's life. So many times, Miss Rocky, we want to be the right person for our family member. And look here, sometimes we're just a little too close to the situation to act right. Have you ever mishandled your family just out of pure frustration with them? Amen. Many times I've handled my own family wrong, Dale, because I was frustrated. You really want to get your faith where it needs to be? Say, God, I don't care who you use in my family's life, but God, thank you that you're sending the right person to them. God, I'm not going to limit you by asking you all these specific things about them, but God, you know exactly what my grown kid needs. You know exactly what my grandchildren need. You know exactly, God, what my parents need, what this one needs. So God, right now, I have enough faith in you that, God, you're going to orchestrate and coordinate the perfect thing for that person in my family. If the devil wants to do one thing to you, he wants to get you discouraged about your family. If the devil wants to do one thing to a person, he wants to get you really frustrated and irritated and discouraged about your family. Why? Because he wants your family. In every way that he can get them. We have to walk in faith and not in fear. Many times we're walking in fear. You can't afford to walk in fear. Joyce Meyer says something, and she's written a book about it, and I love what she says. She goes, do it afraid. It's not an awful thing to be afraid of something, but when that fear starts dictating your life, and your every move, and every single move that you make, and whether or not you're going to do this, and whether or not you'll do this, look here, that fear's got you. If you really want to get over a fear, do it afraid. Don't let fear dominate you. Because fear literally is the opposite of faith. Fear is the opposite of faith. So in John chapter 14, Verse 5, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. And Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen my Father. And how can you say, show us the Father? Verse 10, don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. When you really get discouraged and you're thinking, well, what's going to happen next? You know what you need to do? You need to take a pause, hit the pause button, and begin to reflect back. Can you count the last five big things that God did for you? And you say, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that was God. Amen. Can you count the little things? Can you recognize God in the little things? God shows up for us every day. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. When you're weary, he's not weary. When you're stressed, God's not stressed. And when we can really align ourselves perfectly with the Word, we realize that we don't really have to be stressed either. It's okay to go on and live your life and have joy. Amen? So it says here, believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. And I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. And you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. So here's a promise in the Word of God. And he says, you know what? You're going to do the same things that you've seen me do. But you're going to be able to do those things, but you also get to do greater. Whatever we've seen Jesus do, whatever we've read that he did, there's greater. There's greater. Why is there greater? Because he went and he made a way for us to do even more than what he did. You know, a good leader always has the mentality where they think, I'm going to mentor and lead people in such a way that when I'm gone, this place will be better because God has raised somebody up. I mean, I already think about that now, Rocky, and I'm only 37. I think, you know what, God? Whoever's coming next after me when I get old and I go on to be with Jesus, if he don't tarry, look here, they'll be better than me. Why? Because we're going to train them. We're going to teach them. We're going to make sure. I remember growing up and Dad would tell us little things. One of the things that was a classic for him, he would give us a talking to every Sunday morning on the way to church. And he'd get that rear view mirror and he'd look at us girls. And he would say the same thing. He would say, girls, this is not about us four and no more. It's not about us four and no more. We're going to love on these people. We're going to serve these people. What did God do? He added to our family. He made us greater than what we were. And that happened in faith. Happened in faith. This church wouldn't even be here had God not have called them from California. They had already built my mother's dream house. They left it. Plumbers Union, which basically means you're going to be fine for the rest of your life, left it. Turned in the union card. All of those things were done by faith. I'm not a bit surprised at the success and the victory of Parish Christian Center, because see, all of those things that brought the successes and the victory, those are all followed. You can follow it back and reverse the steps. It was faith that took that. Every hard thing in your life took faith. When you get weary and you want to quit, you need to press in, because, see, that blessing is right on the other side of that hard thing. When you want to say, this is too much, God, I can't take any more of this. Have you ever told God that? I've told him that many times. You know what he's told me? You can take one more day. You can take one more day. And most of the time, Paul, I've taken way more than one more day. But you know what it did to me? It said, you know, it increased my tolerance to be able to tolerate more things. There are things that now, when they come across the ministry pipeline, I don't even get stressed about them. Because look here, in my pea brain, if God can call me at the beginning of a pandemic, I don't feel like there's no there. I feel like we're good. When we got up in there, let me tell you, Angie, pastors that had pastored all their life left the ministry because of the pandemic. See, God's not calling you to always do the easy thing. He's calling you to do the right thing, and the right thing takes faith. It takes faith. Because the right thing, most of the time, is not easy. Amen? And it says, even greater things, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. Go with me now to Hebrews chapter 11. How many of y'all have ever been to Branson and you've gone to at least one of the Sight and Sound Theater productions? Those are quite amazing. I think Cindy just went to Esther, and I'm really looking forward to that. I think in the summer, us ladies need to all go on a day trip to Branson to see Esther, because I think that that is going to be a really good one. But I love Hebrews chapter 11. Because it pulls the greatness out of key people in the Bible, and it begins to tell us that by faith, this is what they did. So in Hebrews chapter 11, let's read verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for. See, when you're really believing God for something and you've really trying to keep your faith, you're not going to be wishy-washy about that. You can't afford to. You either believe that God can do that or you don't. You either say, yes, God is going to do this, or, oh, well, this is never going to get any better. Well, oh, I'll never get that. Well, I made a mistake 10 years ago, and so I can't have that. Or, God won't do it for me. See, you have to get your confession lined up with what God told you that He would do. I remember praying for something about this church, probably the first year that I was pastoring. And I whipped into the parking lot. And he said, Kelly, pray about such and such. And I began to pray for it. Now, when God tells you to pray for something, you need to pray about it. So I began to pray. Now, I've come to the point where I recognize when I'm praying a dumb prayer. And here's what the dumb prayer was. Lord, if it be your will, blah, 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 blah. Well, it obviously was God's will, or He wouldn't have told me to pray about it, to pray for it. Now, look here. I'm trying to help everybody out of the things that I've learned in my own life. If God told you He's going to do something, don't sit there and ask Him if He's sure of what He said that He would do for you. When He tells you, hey, pray over that thing, pray over it, pray over it, pray on it, pray over it, pray for it, pray about it. Don't sit there and ask Him if it's His will. You know, so many people, they won't go to doctors because they're not sure if the doctor is God's will. Well, look here, God has a number of ways that He can heal you. And if he gives doctors wisdom enough to be able to help you in your life, I'd take the doctor, wouldn't you? Now look here, there are things that doctors cannot help us with, and that's when the miracle comes in. Amen? Amen. Divine touch. So faith is being sure of what we hope for. Sure of what we hope for. I know people, and they're not here, so y'all don't start looking at all the single people here. I know people that are believing God for a spouse. Well, if you follow their Facebook, their confession doesn't line up with their request that they've given God. I'm believing God for a good man, or I'm believing God for a good woman. Then you'll see them on Facebook. I'm happy that I get to stay with myself and by myself for the rest of my life because ain't nobody, you know. Well, no. See, you either want to be alone or you want to be with somebody. And if you want to be with somebody, then stop all that stupidity and say, God, I thank you for my spouse, and let's just leave it at that. We can't be contradicting ourselves constantly. How many of you have ever contradicted yourself? I do that all the time. And when I do it, Dale, I try to correct it. If I speak something in doubt, right when I notice it, I renounce that thing. I'll say, that doubt that just popped out of my mouth out of just pure weariness, Lord, in Jesus' name, I take that thing back and I renounce that. Because I know, and we should know, that the power of life and death, it's in our tongue. It's in our tongue. If the world was spoken into existence by words, what are we speaking? Faith. You have to be sure. You have to be sure. Dad and I were talking today about the Manna Center. And I remember the day that God told me what it was going to be called. It was before I ever even applied for the grant that's going to pay for that thing. I was on a trip to Branson, and I was coming back, and I was sleeping. I think I was half sleeping and half praying and meditating on that way. I don't like to drive, and I certainly don't like the drive to Branson. It makes me nauseous. And so I had my little eyeballs shut, and I was praying, and I think I was kind of sleeping. And he just dropped that right into my spirit. He says, you're going to call this center the Manna House. Because God will provide. God will provide everything that we need. And you know what, Rocky? Over the past almost 4 years, what God has had to do in my life is he's had to grow my faith for that. There have been people in my life that wanted to talk bad and say, well, the Manna Center can't be possible, or maybe God didn't want that look here. It was God's idea. Guess what? I don't really have a relationship with those people. Because I've gotten them out of my life. Why? Because they're not going to serve this purpose well. You can't afford to have negativity in your ear about the very thing that you're believing God to do. You can't afford that. If you have people in your life and you're believing God for something that he told you that he would do, that he told you that he was going to bring about, you can't afford to have a bunch of naysayers in your ear talking that doubt and unbelief to where it gets in your spirit, and then you believe that you can't have what God told you you could have. Now let's go to Hebrews 11 and verse 6. The first verse, it says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Certain of what we do not see. Every time I look over there, Brother Paul, you know what I do? I get darn certain of what I don't see yet. Why? Because before something is ever about physically, it happens in the spirit realm first. Any time that you've ever believed God for something, that thing happened way before it actually happened. When I was trying to have kids, I was digging up. I've been trying to clean all my stuff because we're getting this house sold. And I was pilfering through things. And I came across a little blue sailor dress that my mother put me in 1 year when I was probably, well, I think it's like a 3 to 6 month old little dress. And my sister Casey had one in a toddler size. And I have my dress and Casey has her dress. And when I pulled that thing out, it brought me back to when I was believing God for my own children. And Jill, I was having trouble. And I desperately, desperately wanted to be a mom. And God said, Kelly, buy a little hat. Buy a little hat. A couple years before we even had Carson, God had already given me his name. So I bought the little baseball hat. And I would go into that room that we knew was going to be his nursery. And I would sit on that bed. And I'd just cry. And I would say, God, if you can let everybody else in this town have a baby, God, I know that you can do it for me. God, in Jesus' name, I plead the blood of Jesus over this hat. And God, this hat's going to go on my son. And you begin to get your faith where it needs to be able to receive the blessing that God has got for you. If your faith isn't there, you're going to have a hard time receiving that thing that God's got for you. But if your faith is in the right spot and you're saying, you know what, God, this thing, it's already a done deal. It's already done. You just thank him for it. And then, you know what, when it comes, it's not like it's a surprise. Somebody blessed the church in a tremendous way recently. And I just stepped back and I said, only God could have done that. But I'll tell you what I was not, Brenda. I was not surprised. Because you know what? God will do what he said. He'll do what he said. There's also so many times where we ask God for something and we tell God what we're going to do when he gives us that thing. And many, many times God will bring that thing about and we don't do what we said we would do. That'll hold up the next thing that you're asking God for. See, those in those private, intimate moments that we have with God when we're asking God, you know, Hannah, she, in the Bible, she had issues having her a baby, and she said, God, if you'll give me a child, I'll give him right back to you. You know how hard that was? She had the baby. She gave him right back to God. Your faith has got to be in the right place. And then your actions, when we get what we've asked for, we have to be people of our word. And that's very hard to come by these days. Very few people will actually do what they say that they're going to do. Very few people will suit up and show up when it's difficult. Everybody can do that when it's easy. Everybody can do it when it's Easter. Everybody can do it when it's Christmas. People need to learn to get priorities straightened out. I was sitting here tonight, and I was thinking about something that's troubled me for a couple weeks, and I began to feel sorry for myself, and God just said, Kelly, I want you to release that hurt that's inside of you. Look here. God has such a good life for you. There's not room enough for all that stuff. If you've got that stuff up inside of you, that's going to affect your faith. If you're all emotional and you're distraught and you're in despair, man, God wants you to be joyful. Why? Because he's getting ready to give you a blessing. And he loves us. So it says here in verse 6, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So many people say, I want to be in the very center of God's will. So many people say, I want to please God. Look here. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. It'd be like if all of our kids that we've got, lots of us are parents, every time if they asked us for something, they were asking, but they didn't believe that we could do it, Rocky. Now that would get old, wouldn't it? If our kids came to us all the time, well, Mommy, can I have this candy bar? And then, well, I know you're not going to give me that candy bar. See, we wouldn't like that. My kids, they'll get 10 candy bars, and they'll be like, okay, Mom, we're ready to check out. Now, look here, dumb Kelly, Mommy. A few years ago, Dale, I'd have bought them all 10. He says I would have bought them 12. I'm learning a little bit of discretion now. But you get the point. Now, what I want to point out here, and if you really want to be encouraged, if you really want to build your faith, I'd encourage you to read Hebrews chapter 11, because every few verses it says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. skip down a little bit. By faith, Abel did this. By faith, Enoch did this. By faith, Noah did this. By faith, Abraham did that. So many of these things talk about by faith, this is how it was done. By faith, this is how this person was able to act and move and to have their blessing, to be able to be used by God in a powerful way. By faith, by faith. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. We're going to look at verse 17. Hey, boys back there. Shh. Do you want to preach? Okay. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word. There are many times after a Sunday morning service, I will turn on my own message after the fact, and I will listen to exactly what I preached. Why? Because I need that just as much as y'all. Why? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. When I was little, and we lived in our 900-square-foot house for the first few years of my childhood, we used to have the Bible playing at night. People say, how do you know the word so well at your age? That was planted inside of me just nearly from birth. Now, I can't do it as well as Brother Angelo, but God touched his mind and he touched his life, and he had an experience with God where the living word, he could hear the heartbeat of the word. And ever since that day, it was in him. He doesn't even hardly have to use a Bible to preach. We all got to be in the word. Know the word. Be doers of the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word. If you're having problems getting your faith to where it needs to be, get in the word. There is a verse for every problem that you have. If you're having an issue and you can't find the verse, call me, call Dad. We'll give you a chapter and verse, because see, there isn't anything that's new under the sun. Everything is covered under this right here. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. We live by faith and not by sight. Another translation, we walk by faith and not by sight. One of the biggest hindrances to your faith is when you're looking with the natural eye at a situation or a circumstance, and you're looking at it through your physical eyes. Look here. Stop looking at what you can see, taste, hear, smell, touch. What God has for each one of you is something supernatural. Won't be able to be explained by humans. God has a supernatural blessing, a supernatural breakthrough, a supernatural solution to what you're going through. So we live by faith. You cannot live by what you see. When something starts looking bad in your life, stop looking at it. I said that in a service, and there was somebody over here. I'm pretty sure they were under the influence of drugs, and they scoffed at when I said that. They were sitting right here a few Sundays ago. And I said, if you're having trouble in your life and you're doubting because of what you're looking at, stop looking at it. And they just laughed. Well, look here. I'm still saying that. Stop looking at it. You can't afford to sit there and look at everything that you think is going wrong, because look here, you're going to get yourself discouraged. And a lot of times, life is exactly like Facebook. Nothing's really what it looks like. There are times where we think that we know the real ins and outs of a situation, only to find out we didn't know squat. How many times have we looked at another person's life and we judged them by what we thought that we knew about them, only to find out we didn't really know what they were going through? We didn't really know what they were facing. Our life is the same thing. I can't afford to look at everything that's discouraging. Here is one of the things, one of the best things that happened in the pandemic was this right here. God took this hard-headed girl outside. You know what I did not have the ability to do outside, Paul? Is look and see who was there and who wasn't there. Because they was all in their cars. That used to really mess with me. Oh, well, so-and-so's not here. They must be mad. They must be offended. They're going to go to this church. Oh, it's going to... And see, if I ever want to be a pastor that God gives us growth after growth after growth, look here, I can't be messed up over the one that don't come. I can't sit here and count these chairs. I can't sit there and stalk people and ask them where they're at. Look here, that stuff's for the birds. You think Joel Osteen does that? No. You think any other people do that? Well, some of them do. God doesn't put them in charge of very many people. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, we walk by faith and not by sight. Last place for me tonight, James chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. Verse 15. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise him up. The prayer offered in faith. The prayer offered in faith. When you pray, offer up as much faith as you have. And when you see in your life that you're lacking in faith for what you're believing God for, say, God, I believe. Help my unbelief. God, help this faith to get to where it needs to be so I can receive what you have for me. I'm going to end with this story. When I was 9 months pregnant with Carson Paul, I was about to literally pop. I was standing at the doors of the church and I was letting people in on a Sunday morning. I was the door greeter. Why you'd have a pregnant girl door greeting, I'm not sure, but I did it. And I was crying. Look here. You don't want the door greeter crying. It's not going to look good for your church. I was big and fat and pregnant. And I was crying. Dad walks in the foyer. He goes, "What on earth are you crying about?" I remember to this day what I said. I remember to this day what he said. It's helped to change my life. I said, "Dad, I am so stressed because I don't have a babysitter for this baby. I don't have anybody to watch this baby. And I don't care if I go to the poorhouse, I'm fixing to quit my job because I got to have somebody that I trust to watch this baby." And I was crying. I said, "I'm about to deliver him in just a couple weeks and I don't have anybody." See, you remember the verse that the place that we took to in Abram, and he said, "I don't have any children. God, all of my stuff is going to go to people that aren't even in my family." See, you can't afford to tell God what you got and what you don't got, because God will give you what you need. He'll give it to you right when you need it, not a moment sooner. And Dad stopped and he said, "Kelly, you don't know right now because it's not time for you to know. You don't know right now because it's not time to know, but God already has it. It's a done deal. It's a done deal." Look here, God didn't tell you what he would do for you to stress you out and get you to worrying about it. I'm going to say that one more time. Somebody needs to get a hold of that. God didn't tell you what he wanted to give you and do for you in your life to stress you out and to get you to worrying about it. God's going to do what he said he would do. You can take that and you can run with it. And you can believe it. You can put every single amount of trust that you've got in what he said that he would do. But what you cannot do is live in doubt and live in fear and live in stress and live in emotion. Step out of that. Walk in faith. When you feel yourself in doubt, own it right there. God, I'm in doubt right now. Lord, help this doubt in Jesus' name. Y'all stand to your feet. Lord, I thank you, God, for the word that went out tonight. God, I ask, Lord, that you would water it, God, plant it, and help it to grow. God, I thank you, Lord, for every person under the sound of my voice. Lord, you have a plan for each one of us. And God, I thank you that, Lord, our faith increases, God, to be able to receive what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.